Find his work for USA Today online, usatoday.com. Go to a convenience store, pick up a copy, follow on Twitter. The handle is at George Schroeder. George, how we doing today?
Life is good. How are you?
Awesome. I guess we should probably start with Oregon. We talked last week. They had made the decision to dismiss Mark Helfrich, in essence, to alter decades of history. This is a new direction. I'm liking what I've heard, read, and observed about the new man, Willie Taggart. What's your initial take on, let's call it, the first outside hire at this university in 40 years?
Yeah, in football. But yeah,
oh, right.
You know, and so it's new to everybody. People aren't sure what to expect, and I think people probably went into it. It's probably initially, I think, probably an underwhelming hire in terms of I thought we were going to win the press conference and all that kind of thing. Let me just say this. The people, and I don't know Willie Taggart, but the people who do know him that I know are really high on Willie Taggart. They think he's a big-time good football coach. They have tremendous respect for what he did at USF, where he took over a very tough situation. And it took them a little while to get going. But, you know, last year, I think they were 1-3 to start the season. It was his third year. And, you know, people thought, wow, this is not working well. And then all of a sudden they've gone, I think, 16-17, 18-4 since then, something like that. And they're 10-2, obviously, this season. So he got it turned and got things going there. He's been a guy that people have been really high on. And, you know, I think time will tell. How it works. I'm not one of those guys that gets all fired up about do you have regional ties or whatever, but he does have some from having coached at Stanford as an assistant. Time will tell with anybody. I mean, you could have hired, you know, you name the sitting Power 5 head coach that you think they, you know, you'd have loved to seen them hire. You could hire that guy, and we don't know if it's going to work. That's the way these things go. I know they were high on Matt Rhule, the Temple coach who took the Baylor job. But I think Willie Taggart, just from everybody I've talked to, seems like a really good hire.
You know, something you alluded to, I mean, you go back to when they fired Ernie Kent and people were out of their mind thinking Tom Izzo was going to come here. And they ended up hitting a home run with Dana Altman. You mentioned Matt Rhule and Tom Herman maybe. But does what happened here provide maybe a legitimate dose of reality to those who kind of live in that Oregon bubble that this is not a top 10 job, but, you know, a top 22, 24, 26 job, that's more realistic?
Well, the first thing I would say is the football job is a much better job than the basketball job was when Pat Kilkenny went out searching for a coach and took whatever it was, 39, some you know, almost 40 days to get a coach and then went all over the place. The football job is much more attractive.
Okay.
Because of what's happened in the last decade. That said, I don't know, you know, we'd have to think about it a while. I don't know where you'd rank it, but, you know, it's not a top five job. It's not a top 10 job. And I'm not trying to burst anyone's bubble. I'm just telling you what coaches think because it's a, you know, it's a place that you don't have any recruiting in your own backyard. You got to go down to, you kind of need to recruit nationally, but you got to go make your living in Southern California and in the Bay Area. And so, and you've got to convince them to come up to Eugene, Oregon. And look, I love Eugene. A great place to live and everything else, but you're trying to convince these kids to do it. And you know, I think there was some question in some coaches' minds as to, okay, what exactly is this job right now, given that everybody's got really nice facilities, not as nice as Oregon's. You know, maybe Oklahoma State approaches that, but everybody's got really nice facilities. Everybody does the uniform things. The current roster, I think a lot of people are leery of sort of the defensive deficiencies. And then the other thing that's sort of looming out there is it feels like, to I think a lot of football coaches, that the Pac-12 North has been reordered right now with what Chris Peterson's doing in Seattle. And so I think there were some people that were sort of going, okay, I don't really know, you know, I'm not saying it's not an attractive job. I don't know, you know, how attractive is it? What's my ceiling here? And I think that very possibly they could have probably kept working at it and attracted some sitting Power 5 head coaches. They certainly talked to a couple. But I think those are some of the questions people have. I think it's a really good job. I do think that what's happening at Washington, which is not a blip, and we all know how good of a coach Chris Peterson is, how good he is at recruiting guys that fit his system and then how well they play for him. It's going to be a tough to sort of – the idea that you're going to come in and dominate the Pac-12 North like has happened in the last 15 years is hard for me to see.
No, I agree. And actually, you mentioned Washington. You wrote about Washington. And
I
always, and I always joked about, you know, when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, we used to call it the Pac-3 because USC, UCLA, or Washington always played in the Rose Bowl. Then there was the demise. And now you mentioned Chris Peterson, who I don't really see a weakness on that team right now. And you wrote that your belief is this is no one-year wonder, but the beginning. What are you liking about kind of the foundation that Peterson has laid there in Seattle?
Yeah, well, in the immediate, Steve, they've got talent. It's funny listening to the, sort of the national sort of perspective on Washington is, well, they're going to be the sacrificial lamb for Alabama. you know, listen, I picked Alabama. I picked Alabama to win the whole thing. But, and I think, you know, why wouldn't you? That's not like they went out on a limb, right?
Sure.
But I'm. This is not the little engine that could Boise State team upsetting mighty Oklahoma, which by the way wasn't all that mighty. But you know, there was a talent gap in that game in the Fiesta Bowl. You know, 10 years ago, there will be a talent gap, but it's not a crazy big talent gap. They, you know, the Duck fans have seen how fast they are and how physical their defensive line is. They're going to give, especially Alabama's offense is going to struggle. Now, I do think the O-line is going to maybe struggle with Alabama's defensive line. Everybody does. But my point is, it's I don't think people understand how good this Washington team is. And that said, to get back to your question, they do. It does feel like they're just getting started. You know, he's just barely into his tenure there. They're just now building sort of – they've got the foundation laid, and they're sort of laying on top of that with sort of their recruiting pieces in place and that kind of stuff. And, you know, so it's – you know, it's very possible they're going to have better teams, certainly more talented teams, in the next few years than this one. That doesn't mean they're going to accomplish what this one has accomplished, but given Chris Peterson's track record, they might.
No, I've said before, if you went unit by unit, I don't think you'd grade anything on Washington worse than like a B+.
Right. No, listen, they're very talented. Are they as talented as Alabama, followed by maybe Clemson, followed by Ohio State? Probably not. But they're easily a top 10 talent team. It's not like they're some team that snuck in there and you know, that right. The sum is greater than the parts and all those kind of cliches. They're really talented.
We're talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. Now, I thought what you wrote about NCAA President Mark Emmert was really interesting, in particular his reaction to the kind of season we're seeing from Penn State. For those unaware, I mean, his speaking on the subject is intriguing when you consider his role in the initial punishments handed down, altering them, and he talked about what those sanctions initially were supposed to accomplish. It's kind of a multi-pronged issue, isn't it?
Well, there's some revisionist history in there when you talk with Mark Emmert about Penn State. Now, first of all, I think he probably is delighted that the football program is playing well. And even if you're not, you're going to have to say that, right?
Sure.
If you're the NCAA president. And he was speaking in the context of remarks he made, and then after, in a session here in New York today at this intercollegiate sports business forum that happens every year, and then afterwards two reporters sort of following up on that. But, you know, look, I'm of the belief that the NCAA dreadfully overstepped their bounds in penalizing Penn State for things that weren't athletic transgressions. I mean, they were terrible transgressions,
sure.
But the NCAA doesn't have purview over them. And so, you know, there was a significant pushback, and then, you know, the company line is that we've seen so much progress a year or two into the sanctions from the school, so much progress from the school that we decided to pull back on the deal. No, they pulled back on the deal because they had overstepped their bounds so much, but it's nice revisionist history anyway. You know, and so I think probably a lot of people are glad to see Penn State winning again. Now, there is a significant faction. It doesn't mean they're big, but a significant faction of people at Penn State who've sort of always thought they were wrongly put upon in this whole deal and think Joe Paterno was, you know, a saint and all sorts of stuff, and have sort of kind of covered their eyes to the whole Sandusky scandal. And they're kind of a vocal group. And so for those guys, it's sort of hard to go, boy, I'm excited for Penn State. But when you think about James Franklin and his staff, who had nothing to do with this,
right,
and the current batch of players, it's a cool story.
Now, I almost forgot. You took a first visit to my favorite sports venue in the world from the times I saw the Knicks and the Rangers and Led Zeppelin and Big East basketball and boxing. So for your first venture, what did you see and what did you think of the place once referred to as the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden?
Well, I saw Syracuse UConn. So if you're going to pick a college hoops game in early December, that's a pretty good one because that's two groups of fans who think it's their building when it comes
right.
to college sports. I mean, really.
I know.
You know, I don't know that it was filled up, but it was close. And the game itself was not very good, although the finish was good. I mean, they didn't shoot very well. They didn't play very well. But the intensity inside felt like an evenly split NCAA tournament game. And so it was really cool. I mean, I really enjoyed it. It was a ton of fun. I mean, listen, I have been underneath Madison Square Gardens, you know, a bunch of times pulling in and out of Penn Station.
Right.
But I'd never been to an event at Madison Square Garden, so I thought it was time.
Well, to date myself, the first time I saw an event there was 1967. Yikes. We're talking with George Schroeder, USA Today.
So, what were you, like 25 or 30?
Oh, wow. Blown out of the water. Nice, George.
Sorry.
Well done. So Texas hired Tom Herman from Houston. Now is it kind of interesting? No hire yet for the Cougars, but you tweeted without making a hire. They issued a statement on Art Briles. How unique is that, and maybe how much does it address maybe the toxic nature of all this?
Well, I think it says a lot about it. I mean, it's pretty clear that it was a real divisive issue for Houston and their fan base when sort of the rumors got out there, and even their big booster, I can't ever pronounce his last name. It's Fertitta, kind of mentioned the fact that he'd like to see Art Briles maybe get a look. And the school president and the school athletic director had to say, yeah, look, Art Briles is not going to be a candidate. Well, look, when was the last time you ever heard of a school issuing a statement mentioning any candidate by name during a coaching search, period?
They just don't do that.
And then to say this guy's not a candidate tells you what the situation is. I talked to somebody at Houston today, and obviously they're still searching, who told me that basically the – email inboxes, when it became clear that, when people thought Art Briles was a candidate, there would be 100 emails from people who are supporters of Art Briles, and maybe even Baylor types and stuff like that, who were saying, give him a shot, he's a good guy. And there'd be at least as many from people saying, do not ever do that. I will pull every donation from the university and I will burn your house down, that kind of thing.
Right.
That's how divisive and toxic it would have been. Here's the deal. If he can't get hired at Houston, a place where they already know him, where he'd had success, then not only he's clearly not getting a job this year, but he may be toxic for a long while. That's the thing I think that we're beginning to see with Art Briles, and I think some of us have figured that, but we're now seeing it play out.
No, absolutely. It was kind of like a unique stamp of validity. Let's wrap with this. I've always said I love the 14 playoff. I'm about making 2004 right when Auburn won them all and got left out of the BCS title game. I'm all
right.
About if you lose a game, you got nobody to blame but yourself. And
right.
And historically moving forward, a Power 5 team who runs the table will never be left out. I consider head-to-head a tiebreaker. Penn State wasn't tied with Ohio State. What's your thoughts on the field they chose?
They got it right. You can start by this. There are four Power 5 conference teams so with one or fewer losses. So
yep.
Power 5. So Western Michigan doesn't count in this case. So Alabama has zero, and three other teams had one loss. Those teams are in the playoff. Now, I am a guy who loves conference championships to mean something, so it's a little bit hard to overcome the fact that Ohio State didn't win its own the tiebreaker in its own division, much less win its conference championship. But if you sit and watch those teams in the Big Ten, which is clearly the best conference this year,
yep.
at least at the top, Ohio State's the best team of those teams in that best conference. And you're right, because Penn State had two losses, had Penn State beaten Ohio State and beaten Pittsburgh earlier in the year, that's the other loss they have, a non-conference loss, with one loss, they're getting in.
Yep.
Probably ahead of Ohio State, but maybe ahead of Washington, at which point we'd have a different problem because we'd have two teams in from one league, which we've always wondered how that would go when you have two leagues left out. But at that point, Penn State's getting in, or the tiebreaker would be applied because they would have not only won head-to-head, they'd have won a conference championship, which is a big, big deal, supposedly, when your resumes are similar. And that's the key, is the resume similar? And they weren't.
No, I agree. We're on the same page, which means you should really evaluate how you analyze things. But
I just figured you've come around to my side.
Oh, okay. That's a good addendum. Always appreciate. Oh, I guess, are you up to anything this weekend? You get to stay home, just start focusing on hoops. What are you up to now?
I'm going to stay home. Next week I'll go to Columbus. And the week after that I'll go to Clemson just to do some pre-work. And then we got Christmas, and then I'm going to the desert for the Fiesta Bowl, and after that, the finals.
Nice.
In Tampa. So it's a pretty full next, what?
3 weeks?
5 weeks.
4 weeks?
Yeah,
5 weeks?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
George, always look forward to it. Great stuff as usual. You enjoy your time at home, and we'll catch up in a week.
All right. Hey, thank you.
All right. Take it easy.